I know one young man was partially colorblind. He had two colors he's never seen in his life. While standing in line, God healed him. He left the service and went outside because he'd never seen a green tree before. He wanted to see what the trees looked like. Glory to God. And he didn't even get hands laid on him. He got healed right there in the line. I believe he also had pain in his leg that was instantly gone. Glory to God. Lots of wonderful things happened. Yeah, come on. I'm holding the mic.
During the morning service, I had had some severe pain in my feet and my ankles. And as we were being ministered to, it gradually went away. And by the time service was over, I was ready to jump up and down.
Glory to God.
So I had, two bulging discs and one herniated disc in my neck. Constant pain for several years, and recently they had started to grind together. And she touched my neck, and I just started doing something I couldn't do before, and it popped. No pain. No pain.
Glory to God. Woo-hoo! Come on.
So I was in a car accident in November, and as a result, I had torn the ligament from my bicep to my shoulders and my rotator cuff and some pinched nerves in my left side of my neck. So I also teach fitness classes, so it was really difficult because it was always hurting. So when I went up there, as soon as she, you know, she had held my hand for a while, and I was like, oh, my God. And when she finally looked at me, it just felt like hot oil had just ran down my body, and I just started crying. And immediately, I was not able to do this, to do any type of circular motion, to reach up and down. So it was just instantaneous.
Glory
Hallelujah.
Hurt my back and my neck when I was in the Army 26 years ago. Laid hands on me. I wiggled my head, you know. No change. But by the time I got home, Gene and I got home, I was healed. I haven't taken any pain medicine or anti-inflammatory pills or anything since Sunday.
Amen, amen.
Kind of like what Johnny said, 10 years in the service kind of messed my back up a little bit, and she laid hands on me. I felt my spine move. Everything got warm, and it don't hurt no more. So healed and whole.
I just had some very minor back pain, but I was healed of that too, so praise the Lord.
It ain't minor if it's yours.
I've had floaters in both my eyes for about 28 years, and my left eye, as soon as she held my hands, it just went away immediately. But my right eye, it's still kind of on the end, but it's getting better. Thank God for that.
Amen. Yes.
And while she was being prayed for, I was sitting over there, and I stretched out my arm, and my faith for her was just there for those floaters. And I wasn't even thinking about my own, and I looked up, and I was like, oh, they're gone. And I've seen nothing since Sunday. Praise God.
Anybody else real quick? Listen, go online or call the church office or send an email. This is a new flow for her. And so it's wonderful. It encourages even her faith to hear what all God did for you. So let's give him the glory, amen. Thank you, Lord. Ha 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 ha. Glory. We are so grateful. Father, we are so grateful that you're so mindful of your people. What a demonstration of your love upon this very body, Father, that you would take care of our physical ails in such a miraculous way. You're such a good God, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Good, good, good. The team's tearing it up in Nepal. They're sending all kinds of report. Pastors has been in the school, and he was a little frustrated over the weekend. You know, as a minister, you know when you hit it, and you know when you don't. And so he was a little frustrated over the weekend, but Monday morning in class, it cut loose. He said he was ministering in ways he hasn't ministered in years. They were, I mean, they just, the place went crazy. All kinds of wonderful things happened. Today in the school, again, they were given testimonies of how God had met all their needs. Right in the middle of that, Pastor felt led to buy one of the students a motorcycle. So he called me this afternoon. Well, he didn't call me this morning, but he texted me and he said, I want you to take X amount of dollars out of my personal stash. And I just bought somebody over here a motorcycle. And I was like, well, good. Glory to God. So they're doing great. The team had a deaf ear open when they were ministering in the village. They had a young man who couldn't walk or was having trouble walking. Do y'all remember the exact? I don't want to overstate it. Was he just having trouble walking? I don't know if he couldn't walk. I could probably go get my phone and read it to you. But he had something that he couldn't walk anyway. And so they prayed for him. He went out. While he was out, he had a vision. The Lord came to him, and he saw him forming his legs properly. And the Lord said to him, I'm healing you. Now I'm sending you to heal others. So in one fell swoop, the kid got up absolutely healed and called to the ministry. And now he's, you know, going to step out and do his own healing thing in the nation of Nepal. So all kinds of wonderful things. They're very excited. They've had a few health challenges, but, you know, not anything that can keep them down. Amen. So we're very excited for that. I can't wait till they get back and we get to hear all their stories. They'll be back on Saturday, so Pastor will be back on Sunday morning. Whoop, whoop. All right. I'm excited if you're not. All right. While Reverend Ann Durant was here ministering this weekend, we had wonderful personal fellowship around the Word. You know, I don't mean this wrong, but Kevin and Mark are pretty comfortable with each other. So usually when we're all four together, they carry the conversation. I know that's hard for you to believe of your pastor, but it's true. And so Annie and I were kind of giggling, you know, because we were like, okay, now this is going to force you and I to actually really get to know each other. But we were talking about some loved ones that we have in common. And I was telling her the point in their life that I personally observed when they were about somewhere in their early 40s, something happened. And they got disappointed, and it seemed from that moment on they were stuck there. Do you know what I mean? They quit progressing. You know, it just seemed like they never recovered from it. There was a marked distinction in their life before that time and after. Now, before that time, they were going after God and progressing in their ministry and taking new ground in God. But after, they seemed to stagnate. Their glory days were behind. Their best days were in the past. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not that they didn't, you know, go on and live their lives. They did. But their identity became more of what they had done rather than what they were doing and would do in the future with God. And she told me a story about a young man who asked his father how to know when someone was getting old. And his father replied, the people that are old are the ones who are constantly looking back rather than looking forward. Well, I want you to know, based on that definition, I don't ever intend to get old. I don't care how old I get. There are new mountains to climb. You know, it reminded me when I was thinking about it this afternoon about Joshua. You know, every now and then it comes through, the young ministers want the old Moseses to step aside and let the Joshuas, you know, take their place. Joshua was much younger than Moses. But you have to understand, Joshua was 80 when he took over. So he was quite a bit younger than Moses, who I think was, you know, 120 or whatever he was. But what are you talking about, you 20-year-old snot-nosed? When you get to be 80, come talk to me. It made me laugh. You know, Annie was telling me about her mom. Her mom has pastored by herself. She's 85. She just gave up her church and is now on staff at another church, still ministering. Just didn't want the responsibility of the whole church anymore. Still conquering ground at 85. Well, Joshua, when Caleb said, "Give me my mountain," he was 80. Woo! When that disappointment happened in the lives of those I loved, they stopped progressing. They stopped seeking after God and stopped even trying to win new battles. When that happened, they began to decline spiritually, then mentally and physically, though they were still relatively young in age. They never recovered, and while they lived into their late 70s and 80s, they lived their last 30 or 40 years in decline, in disappointment, instead of going on with God. I know somebody who got disappointed with God in their 20s and quit moving forward, got stuck there, decided to go on and live their own life and do their own thing, thinking, you know, when I get older, maybe I'll come back and try to pick up, you know, the call of God on my life. Well, how many of you know, once you go off in a wrong direction for 30 years, you can be pretty far off course. Now listen, if I was going from here to Birmingham, how many of you know I could get there by way of Canada if need be? It's not the most direct route. It's not an advisable route. But it can be done. But when you've been going the wrong direction for 30 years, you're pretty far off track. This person, maybe 40 years now, this person came to me recently, and as I was talking to them, the Spirit of God rose up on the inside of me, and I just began to weep, and I said, "The body of Christ needs your voice. We need you." She said, "I know, but I don't know how to get back. I don't know what to do. There's no open doors here. I don't know how." Listen, we got to keep moving, no matter what's going on. And I don't have time to tell this story. We'll be here all night, but I'm going to tell it real short, okay? We were going from Pastor Dale and Vanessa's church in Arkansas to my dad's 50th Bible school class reunion in Kentucky. So we were ministering to all of the ministers who graduated with him 50 years ago from Bible school. So we were traveling from Arkansas to Kentucky. Well, we went up into Missouri because that's how our little GPS thing took us. And, you know, my husband is kind of a nose to the grindstone. We're going to get there. You better use the bathroom before we go because I ain't stopping, you know, kind of guy. And I'm like, you know, let's stop and smell the roses, you know. And, you know, we had Destiny with us, and she was very young at that time. She was much younger. And so as we're going, I saw this billboard for a restaurant in a cave. And I thought, well, that'd be kind of cool. We have to stop for lunch anyway. So I used all my womanly persuasion to convince my husband that this would be an adventure and a family memory, and we should go eat lunch. We have to eat anyway. We should go eat lunch in this cave. And so, you know, he reluctantly agreed. And he's like, "How far off the interstate is it?" And I'm like, "Honey, I don't know. Can't be that far, you know." So I get off and I reprogram the GPS to find this cave. So we had a brand new vehicle back then. That tells you how old the story is, because the van is like really old now. But anyway, 13 years I've been driving it. But it was new back then. So we were on a gravel road. So I'm already testing my husband's patience. And now we've got our brand new vehicle on a gravel road. And it's throwing rocks up against against the vehicle. And, oh, man, my husband's quickly losing his joy. So we're out in the middle of nowhere. And when I say nowhere, I mean nowhere like I've never seen nowhere. There were no street signs. I am not exaggerating. I had no idea where we were. There was no businesses, no houses. There was nothing. And so we get to this cave, and it's closed. Well, now I'm really praying for favor, you know, grace and mercy. And I tell him all the time, look at all the fruit of the Spirit I help you develop. Long suffering and patience and goodness. I'm working it in you, brother. You should thank me for these things I do. And he never buys it. But so I hit resume trip on the little GPS, thinking it would take us back the way it brought us. But it didn't. Now, all of a sudden, we're driving on a gravel road, but it's a different gravel road, all right? There is nothing out there. I'm just with my hand before the Lord, I am not exaggerating. There was not a street sign, a highway sign. There was nothing, not a business, not a house. And all of a sudden, the gravel road went to dirt. So now we're driving down this dirt road, and I mean, we're just driving miles. And he's, you know, trying. And so I'm like, yes, I love you, baby. And it would have been fun. Admit it, it would have been fun. So then all of a sudden she says, turn right. So he stops in the middle of the dirt road, and there are two tire tracks into the woods. I'm not even lying. This is a true story. He looks at me, and I look at him, and now he's kind of got steam, you know, coming out of his ears. And I said, honey, I don't know what to do. I don't know where we are. I don't know how to get us back. We're going to have to follow the chick in the box. I don't know what else to do. And so, you know, he is just, anyway, I'm helping him develop great fruit of the Spirit at this point. So he reluctantly, you know, making all kinds of noises, you know, turns off onto this tire tracks. We're literally in the woods, right? On tire tracks, just two ruts. I mean, we're going over streams, you know, we're going over roots, you know, boom, 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 you know. And all the time, you know, he's looking over at me wanting to dump me out. I know where he is. And I'm calculating in my brain, if the car breaks down, I'm going to have to set it on fire and tell the fire department to look for the smoke. Because I don't know where we are. What could I tell them? We went to the cave and now we're in the woods on a tire track. I don't know where we are. Do you understand? So eventually we did come out the other side of the woods, back onto a dirt road, then a gravel road, then the interstate. Merciful God, it just took us a few more exits down and got us back on the interstate. But what is my point? That day, took some side journeys that the GPS never meant for us to take. How many of you know if we'd have stayed on the main highway, we had a nice, smooth highway, we could have gone at 70 miles an hour towards our destination. But because we decided to get off the path and do our own thing for a little while, we went through some things we were never meant to go through. The route would never have taken us over those roots, you know, boom, 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 over the little stream, you know, where I kept thinking, you know, dear Lord, what is my point? If you get off, you can get back. But you might end up having to go through some things God never meant for you to go through. You can get to Birmingham by way of Canada. It's not the recommended way. But you can get there. What is my point? It doesn't matter if you've gotten off the path. You can get back on. God will help you. He'll get you there. You know, I don't ever intend to quit progressing in God. I'm going to win new battles as long as there's breath within me. I'm going to forge ahead. I want to take new land. I want to be standing like Caleb at 80 saying, Lord, you said, give me my mountain. We have to keep moving forward. no matter what happens. No matter what life or devil or people throw at you. We eventually got back on the highway. Not much worse for the wear other than, you know, my husband's favor that I did eventually get back, I believe. But let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Let's stop there. How many of you know these are the last days? Listen, if they were the last days in Jesus' time, we're in the last of the last days by now. Amen? And he said in these last days, he's going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. How many of you got flesh? Pinch yourself. If you felt it, you're in there. All right? So he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Glory to God. Sometimes I wish you could come with me to children's church. We have some amazing young people in there who love God with all their heart, who are serving God with all their heart at their very tender young age. I can go through the children's church and give you the ministry gifts of some of the children in there. Our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. What is my point? There is new territory to take regardless of how old you are. Men, women, old, young, it's all irrelevant in God. He said he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, men and women. And young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. Listen. In this last day, God's got something great for you. Don't you let the devil take it. Galatians 3:26 says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. How many of you know whether we're male or female, we're all sons of God? The scripture says so. We're all sons of God. You know, one thing I love about our church is we look like heaven. You know, last time I counted, and that was way back years before we moved out of the A-frame, we had 18 nationalities represented, first generation immigrants, people who were born somewhere else. And came here. And more than one from that place. We had a whole Chinese contingent. We had, you know, some African people. We had people from the islands of the sea. We had people from South America, people from Europe. We look like heaven. I love that. He didn't specify whose flesh he's going to pour out on. He said, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for we're all one in Christ Jesus. So going back to Acts 2:17, he said, it shall come to pass that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. But listen, you have to cooperate. You have to keep progressing in God. No matter what life, the devil, or other people throw at you, you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. Philippians 3:13. It says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice the action words in this portion of Scripture. Forgetting. That's your action. That's your job. He's got something to do, but in order to get it done, you're going to have to forget. You're going to have to forget what lies behind. How many of you know the devil? He's the accuser of the brethren. He'll whisper in your ear night and day, you know who you are. You know what you did. Who do you think you are? You can't do anything for God. People find out all about your business. They'll never believe in you. He's the accuser. But listen to me. If God is opposed to using imperfect flesh, he has a terrible system. Because it's all there is imperfect humanity to use. What did the Apostle Paul have to forget? Let's go and let him tell us in his own words. 1 Timothy 1:13. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. In Acts 22:4, this is Paul speaking. He said, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death. You know, Pastor Mark and I have had a discussion, you know, do you think Paul actually killed Christians? I don't know. In this portion of Scripture, he didn't say, I murdered people. But he said, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death. Arresting both men and women, and throwing them into prison. Acts 22:19. Lord, I replied, this is Paul speaking, these men know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Listen, once Paul was converted and realized that he was torturing and tormenting people who just loved God and were following the truth, how terrible must he have felt about his own behavior? He had to get over his past to go on. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I don't know that there's a whole lot of you out there who were murderers of Christians. If Paul could forgive himself and go on, surely you can. I know people who still are so upset over mistakes they made 30, 40, 50 years ago. How the devil has tormented them. How he has kept some of them stymied in their life, stuck in a place because they couldn't get over what happened. But you can get over it. You can. The Apostle Paul chose to forgive himself and to forget what he had done. He said, I did it because I was ignorant and in unbelief. And God had mercy on me in spite of it. God loves you. He's forgiven you. Forgive yourself. There was a radio show that was on when I was in my early 20s, and their byline was this: God forgives. Let him. Let him. Forgetting those things which lie behind. Paul had to forget his own mistakes and failures, and so do we. What else might we have to forgive? Or forget, I mean. Disappointments and things we don't understand. I talked to you already about, a couple of different people who got stuck because they got disappointed with God. And they were, unable or unwilling to go on until they understood or until God changed something. Listen, you're just going to have to go on even if there are things going on you don't understand. Even if disappointments have happened. I have said to the Lord through tears, I don't understand. But I do trust you. I trust you. Genesis 11, 27. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah was Abraham's father. Terah begat Abram, who became Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot, verse 28. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai. I know she was glad when her name got changed because Sarai means contentious one. They used to name people on how they behaved. That'd be interesting today, wouldn't it? The Lord changed her name from Sarai, the contentious one, to Sarah, which is princess. I like it. And the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Verse 31. And Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Hang on just a minute. Terah, Abram's father, was the first one to leave his homeland and head towards Canaan. The promised land. Next verse. And the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. He didn't make it all the way to the land of Canaan. What happened? He set out for the promised land, took his children. He was probably the one really called to go into the land of Canaan. But he didn't make it. He got stopped along the way. The Bible says he died in Haran. What was his son's name who died? Haran. We can get a clue from the name of the city where he died, what made him probably get stuck. How many of you know stuff happens? Disappointing things, hurtful things, things we don't understand. And when those things happen, we have a choice. We can either stop and stay there and say, I'm not moving until you help me to understand, or until this situation gets changed, I'm not moving. But if you do, you're likely to die there, short of the promise of God for your life, just like Terah did. Listen, no matter what happens, God is for you. He'll help you. He'll get you where you need to be. He'll restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm, all of those worms in Joel. One of them ate the leaves off the trees. The other ones ate the stems. The third kind of worm ate the roots. We're talking about total destruction. But God said, I will restore the years that the enemy has stolen from you. If you take his hand and keep walking. Even if you say, Lord, I don't understand. But I trust you. And I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going. And I trust that you're going to make everything all right for me. Listen, if you get stuck there, you can die there short of the promise of God. We can't let anything, any disappointment, anything the devil can throw at us. Life happens. Our life can beat the crud out of you sometimes. This is a stinky old world we live in. You ever figured that out yet? It's just loaded up with, I won't even say the words that are coming to my brain. There's just stuff. How many of you know everybody's got stuff? They go through stuff. Everybody does. But you can't stay there. You can't stay there. Take his hand. Father, I don't understand. But I trust you. And I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep obeying when you speak to me. And I believe, Father, you're going to restore that which I have lost. He will. He will. Listen, one of the benefits of being my age is I've walked with God for 50 years now. I'm 55. I got born again maybe when I was 3 or 4. I don't even know how old I was. I was little. I can tell you, in all those 50 years, my Father has never let me down. There are times when it looked like he did. There were times when things happened that I was mad at him over. How could you allow this to happen to me? Where were you? But even in those times, if you'll just take his hand and keep walking, Father, I don't understand, but I know you're a good God. And I trust you. Listen, when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, I was coming to grips with some things that had happened to me. And I was so mad at God. And, you know, I really was literally saying those things to him. Where were you? How could you stand there and watch what happened to me and do nothing? But you know what? I didn't even have the knowledge, the foundation to understand if he had answered me. There was so much of the word I didn't know. So much of the ways of God that I didn't yet know. Looking back now, I can understand what happened. Back then, even if God had tried to explain it to me, I wouldn't have understood. How many of you know if I'd have got stuck there, I'd have never been here? I had to get to the place where I said, I know you're a good God, even though it doesn't look like it. I trust you. Where are you going to go? You know, when Jesus said, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and the disciples, some of them left, Jesus turned to his inner circle and he said, are you going to leave too? And I think it was Peter. One of them spoke up and said, Where would I go? You've got the words of life. Where would I go? What am I going to go back to? I was smart enough at, you know, 17, 18, 21, however old I was, to know there's nothing back there for me. Serving the one who steals, kills, and destroys. How is that better than serving God? There's nothing back there. So what option was there? None for me, except to take his hand and keep walking. Listen, he is so more than made up for everything I went through. Everything the devil was able to get in and steal from me, he is more than made up 100 times over. He's a good father who loves and cares for his children. And even when things happen that we don't understand, things that disappoint us, you just got to take his hand and keep walking. I had a, she wasn't really a cousin, a kind of a foster cousin. who loved God with all of her heart, and she was in a terrible car wreck at like 18 and died. And my aunt had a plaque put in her casket that said, "We don't need to understand. We just need to hold his hand." Looking back now, I know people make decisions. They drive too fast. They override warnings of the Holy Ghost, things I didn't understand back then. But you can get stuck in things that you don't understand and forfeit. It'll cost you if you get stuck there. We also sometimes have to forget our past successes. How many of you know you can't rest on your laurels? You can't just decide at some point, I'm a success and I don't have to try anymore. Reminds me of King Asa. I have a whole bunch of scriptures there that I'm not going to take the time to read because it's already 20 after. But let me tell you the story. King Asa took over the kingdom when his father died. He was a good man in the sight of God, the Bible says. He did things right. He tore down the idols and he even removed the queen mother because she had an Asherah pole to a false god. And his ways were pleasing to the Lord. And so for the first 10 years of his reign, there was peace. Do you know how unusual that would be in those times when a young king takes over when his father died? That would be the time when the enemies would say, you know, he's inexperienced, he's weak, now is our chance. But that didn't happen. He had 10 years of peace because the favor of God was on him. Because his ways were right before God. So after 10 years, all these enemies came against him, and I love his heart. He went before God. Now, he's been king for 10 years. And he went before God and he said, "Father, you know I am absolutely helpless. But my eyes are on you. I'm asking you to help us win this battle." And God was so pleased with his heart, they kicked booty. I mean, they should not have won that. And they not only won it, they chased them all out and killed them all and took more land and, I mean, did all this stuff. They had a great, tremendous victory. And the Lord sent a prophet to him and he said, "The Lord is with you so long as you're with him. Because your ways are pleasing in the sight of God, he's going to give you peace." So for 25 more years, they lived in absolute peace. The Bible says during that time, they prospered and built and increased. How many of you know that's a good stretch? You go 25 years without any kind of battle, that's a pretty good stretch. Now, King Asa had been ruling for 35 years. And in the 36th year, an enemy rose up against him. But by that time, King Asa had gotten comfortable. He thought, "I can handle this. I don't really need to seek the Lord on this one. I know what to do." So he paid off another king to help him. Sent him silver and gold, and they made an alliance, and together they routed the enemy. But the Lord was displeased and basically said to him, "When you were small in your own sight, you depended on me. And now you think you're all that. Because of that, there'll never be peace again in your kingdom." He was mad. He was so mad, he threw the guy in prison who came and brought the word of the Lord to him. He began to persecute people. He would just was bitter. I don't know what happened. He just got bitter over the whole deal. And in a short time, the Bible says he died of a foot disease a short while later. But you know what really killed him? Complacency. I looked that word up in the dictionary and I was shocked. It means self-satisfaction. When you're complacent, you think you're okay. I got this one. I've been doing this a long time now. I got it. I know what to do. I'm the king. That complacency, that self-satisfaction cost him the kingdom. What is my point? As believers, we need to seek him as much in year 35 as we did on day one. We need to be dependent on him just as much as in year 35 as we were in day 35. When you start getting real big for your britches and think you know what's going on and you don't really need the Lord anymore. That's when we get in trouble. Sometimes you got to get over your past success. The Lord has done marvelous things here among us, whereof we are glad. But I'm here to tell you this is just the start. For this ministry, for this time, so much going on. I wish I could share, but I don't even know at this point if I could wrap words around everything that's in my heart. Some of you heard Reverend Ann say to me, most of you were probably gone. I went up last Sunday night. She said to me, the Lord said, there are mantles that have fallen to the ground, people who didn't fulfill their call. And you can have as many of them as you want, Pastor Rhonda. Well, that'll freak your gizzard. I was like, I didn't know what to say or do. So I went home, and as I was falling asleep that night, I said, oh, Lord, I'll just take all of them. I just mostly because I didn't know what to say. And the Lord woke me up in the night, and he said, don't be flippant about this. He said, I was serious. Don't be flippant. He said, with each one of those mantles, there's a cost and there's a price. Don't you be flippant, because if you pick up the mantle, the price will be required. Took me back to the room with the dust covers. My husband texted me from Nepal. He said, I don't think they're dust covers. I think they're mantles. He said, when Elijah went up, his mantle fell and Elisha picked it up. He said, there are mantles. People have not fulfilled their calls. Mantles stacked in a room. And he said, Rhonda, you've been invited into that room more than once. But you know what it made me? It made me sad that so many people didn't fulfill their destiny. God needs you. He needs you to forget. He needs you to press. He needs you to reach. Press means you push through the obstacles and what's coming against you. Press implies effort to move forward. If I'm pressing, there's something here that I've got to get past or through. God needs you to finish your race. Another version says, I strain with all I have to apprehend that which Christ has for me. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. And they will prophesy. There's a little girl in another state who's 7 years old. She was praying about our Nepal team and our Nepal trip. And the Lord, she felt like the Lord instructed her to fast and pray for their trip. That child has not eaten in days. Spends all day, every day, praying for the team. I told Mark, I said, I feel like such a schlub. I love him. and I'm not fasting. What is my point? I don't want to be shown up. I don't want somebody else to have to pick up my mantle or your mantle. Each of you has something to do for God, and He needs you to get after it. He needs you to forget what lies behind and reach. Reach implies effort. You go after it. Reach for those things which are before and press until you get it. Because you got things to do for God. Listen, this is a supernatural church. With supernatural things going to happen here, even more than we've ever seen. Not just from here. I've been telling you since I married Pastor Mark 2 decades ago. The last great end time revival. Signs, wonders, and miracles are coming through you. Not necessarily the ministry gifts, though there will be. But He wants you to flow in signs, wonders, and miracles. He wants your voice out in this world. Not as an echo, but as someone who does know their God and is doing exploits. You got something to do for God. Something supernatural. Don't let anybody take that. Don't let the devil take that. Don't let life circumstances take that from you. Don't leave your mantle for somebody else. Your anointing, your giftings. He needs you. He needs you to press. He needs you to forget. He needs you to reach toward. Can't wait to see what He's going to do. Back in the early days of the church, I had visions of some of you having specific gifts of healing. And me saying, you know, you take these 5 blind people back in the back room. Blind people are your specialty. Get them healed and bring them back. Glory to God. That's how some things are going to operate in these last days. You, as believers, are going to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. You're going to flow in miracles. Let's contend for it. These things don't just happen. We have to do our part to make them come to pass. We have to be available. We have to forget. We have to reach, and we have to press so we can get it done. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we come before You right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I believe that You have equipped this body with Your word and the knowledge of Your Spirit so that they are in position for these last days events. Father, just as that young man got healed so that he can minister healing to others in Nepal. I believe it's true of many in this room. Father, I thank You that as we choose to forget, as we choose to go on with You, as we choose to contend for, as we choose to press towards, the divine destinies are fulfilled. Right here in this body. And I thank You for it, my Father. I thank you for the gifts and the callings that are on the inside of each one of these people. And as their pastor, I call them forth in Jesus' name. I call forth the gifts and the callings, the destinies of the peoples of this place. Help us to cooperate, Father, so that your kingdom can come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.